Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker.
Into the end zone, touchdown, touchdown.
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime.
Here comes another week. Here we go. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, coming to you from Orchard Park, snowy Orchard Park today. Happy to be with you for the next 3 hours talking Bills football, NFL football. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, coming off the weekend, going into a week. Next Wednesday, a week from 10 days away, we'll be headed to the NFL Combine in Indianapolis as we get set for the draft. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm John Murphy. This is Steve Tasker. Welcome to the show. Steve, welcome to you. How are you today?
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Good to be
back. Nice restful weekend. Had some stuff going on. Watched a bunch of AAF this weekend. Watched a couple of movies. That's not right. I kind of surfed across a couple of movies, but spent time with the family. I had my son came in with his wife from the city in New York, and then mom and dad are still in town this week. So we had a lot of family stuff going on.
Yeah, it was fun.
I felt lousy all weekend.
I spent a lot of time watching movies. Yeah. Didn't watch much sports.
You went to Canisius, though, right?
Went to Canisius Friday night, and the weekend went downhill from there as far as getting out and doing stuff. Yeah. Just felt lousy. Just cold.
I took my dad to the Sabres game Friday night. He's not invited back.
Why?
6-2. We got crushed.
It's not his fault.
He's unlucky. Dad doesn't get to go.
How did he like the games?
We had fun.
Your seats are so good.
The seats were really good, and you know, right up, we waited till midway, almost the halfway point of the game. You know, mid period in the second period, went up, got ice cream. It was awesome.
You miss hockey time.
It was a highlight, believe me, because it was downhill from the Sabres were playing really good. It was a fun game to watch up until Linus Allmark put one almost in his own goal.
And you leave? Wait a minute! You leave your seats in the middle of the game to go get ice cream?
Well, Pops is 88. So we need to, you know, we need a little less traffic around us when we're moving around.
All right.
Plus, we didn't want to stand in line. I'm at a point in my life, Murph, where I really don't stand in line
for anything. Yeah.
You know, unless I'm starving, then I'll stand in line for food.
Okay.
And it really doesn't matter what kind of food. But I really don't like standing in line for anything anymore.
So even if you're missing the game action.
Hey, come on! It's the arena. You just turn around and watch the flat screen. You can catch it.
Yeah, but you can watch it at home. You don't have to spend $95 on your ticket.
Yeah, but listen, I missed 5 minutes of the game. Come on.
Okay.
Cut me some slack.
All right. So a little hockey on Friday. I was doing basketball on Friday, Canisius basketball.
How'd they do? They won by four.
Yeah. Yep. Played okay. Not great, but played okay. Was with some good friends. One of my buddies from Florida was up, watched the game, went out after the game. Actually, you may laugh at this. I went to two games Friday night. I went to Canisius, which started at 7, ended around 9, and went to Damon College to catch the second half of their game because I have a buddy who coaches.
You are a college basketball junkie, aren't you?
I was Friday.
Because I know you watch all the Michigan stuff
because
of John Beilein.
Yeah.
I get that. I
went to Damon. My buddy Mike McDonald coaches there. Big fan of the show, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
He watches, listens all the time.
I was over in Batavia signing autographs. About one in three people wanted to ask me about the show, said, hey, it's great. People watch it.
Tell me about that. You did the big autograph thing at Batavia Downs.
Yeah, Marv was over there. Saw Marv. First guy I saw was Marv. And then Fred Smirlis, saw Freddie. And then Steve McMichael was sitting next to me.
Former Bears defensive tackle.
There was a baseball player. Tino Martinez was there. I didn't even get a chance to meet him, though. We were doing separate stuff. And then
you said Dave Hollins?
Dave Hollins.
Former
was there,
Phillies.
Yeah. And there was another baseball player. I was sitting there, and I can't remember.
Well, you know, your baseball.
Right. I'm kind of an idiot when it comes to baseball. And then, you know, Josh was there.
So Josh Allen.
Josh Allen came over. And, in fact, I was upstairs signing some stuff for the dealer. You know, some of those guys, they have shops, and there's a bunch of guys that get together to put this big event on. And that's why they get all these guys coming in there. So I go upstairs, and I sign stuff for their store, right? That's part of the deal. And while I'm sitting there, Josh comes over to me and says, hey, what's going on? How's it going? And we shot the breeze for a couple of minutes. And So he parachuted in for the thing over in Batavia yesterday, signed for the Public after I left.
Now, who are the can you give us a profile of the typical autograph seeker at those? First of all, they pay an admission fee, right?
Yeah, and see, I don't know how it works exactly, but they'll pay for the guy you want, right? So if you want like six guys, I think you have to pay for each one. They don't pay me. I mean, I just go over for a flat fee, and whatever I can get done in a couple hours, I get done. But you pay for a ticket, and they also have a level of tickets. If you just want me to autograph something, that's one prize. If you want me to autograph something and take a picture or something, I use another prize. Then if you want me to – or an inscription, if you want me to say, hey, to Joe Blow, you know, best wishes – you know, that's another price. And then they got like they had a photo booth set up. So you'd go over and you could take a picture with us and we'd sign that right there. They'd print it right out right there and I'd sign it right there for you. And that was another price. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff. And there's a ton of people.
Were there?
Yeah.
And who are these people? Are they young people?
They're just
people?
Everybody.
Males,
everybody.
Females?
Young kids and their dads, husbands and wives, groups of buddies, all dressed in gear. And they all bring something to sign. There's some pretty unique pieces that they have you sign, like I was like, wow, kind of wish I had one of those almost, right? So, except I don't want to get everybody to sign it, right? I don't want to schlep it all. Because you can imagine, because I played with all the guys who were really good, they got stuff where all of those guys have signed. And then I'm one of a bunch of guys who have signed a piece, so it becomes more and more and more valuable. And there's some of that stuff going around too, which some of it is very nice. Even I think it's pretty cool. So, and I'm not an autograph guy.
Nor am I. I have a question: are the people getting the autographs paying to get these autographs? Are they? Would you say? And you're going to have to generalize here. Are they autograph people, or are they just looking for interaction? Like I went and said hi to Josh Allen.
Autograph people.
Autograph people.
They've got things they want signed because it's important to them.
Important to them too.
I didn't get the feeling that these were people that couldn't wait to get it signed so they could put it on eBay kind of thing. You know, I got this from my man cave, or you were my favorite player, or I remember this and I wanted to get this signed, or, you know, get game, you know.
They're not trading in it, so they're not.
It doesn't matter. And to me, I don't care if they do it. I hope my signature puts them through college. What do I care? You know, seriously. I don't care. I just, you know, so I don't care. But a lot of them are just people that have something special to them that they want signed. Yeah. And then there's other people who, like, I signed Northwestern University helmets, a couple of those, you know, all that stuff. Super Bowl, all the way back to the Super Bowl stuff, and then one of a kind things that people have drawn or had made or whatever. So,
wow.
So all that stuff. And it's just regular folks. It's great.
How many people? Thousands? Hundreds? What would you say?
Well, there's only so many that can fit through there in one time. You know, I think they only sold maybe, for me, when I go sign autographs, I mean, I can sign everybody who wants my autograph, who shows up, and everything they want signed, I can do it in less than an hour. There's never that many people for me. But, you know, guy like, you know, they know Josh is there. So there's, you know, extra people in the house. But like I said, an event like that, the only people wanted me were the ones who actually came to get something signed by me. They might have gone back through line for the other guys as well, but I knew that they knew I was going to be there, and so they had something they wanted signed. So.
All right, one more question, because it's a world of which I'm not familiar.
It's like a cottage industry. I would categorize it as a cottage industry. It's not a big industry, but it's still.
You know how when the Bills go on the road or teams go on the road and you check into the hotel and there's always a handful, 6,
yep.
10, 12 autograph seekers?
Yep.
Are those dealers, serious autograph dealers?
Yeah.
They're not just fans.
No, they're not just fans. Once in a while you'll get a fan, but most of the time those guys are guys who are on it, who are doing it for the cash.
And you can tell they have the books ready to go.
Yeah, they've got a folder, or they've got the footballs, helmets. Like, so when I go I go with guys who are really famous, like Kurt Warner I work with, and Rich Gannon, and these former MVPs. Kurt Warner gets bothered as much as anybody I know. Rich gets bothered. When we go to away teams on the road, and we're going to go, like, say we're going to go to the Miami Dolphins away hotel. They're playing in Cincinnati. We'll go to their hotel the day before the game. When they get there on Saturday, we have production meetings. When we go into or out of the hotel to the car to go back to our hotel, there's guys hanging around the lobby of the hotel that are getting Rich's autograph, and sometimes mine.
And you will sign in those cases. You sign for free many times.
I usually do.
So I don't get it. Sometimes you get paid, sometimes you don't. Why would you sign for free if you know you can get paid to sign?
Well, I'll tell you the truth, Murph.
Aren't you cheapening the value of your...
What do I... Like I said, I don't... It's not...
Because you have value. There's value in your autograph. Yeah. Seriously. I mean, they paid
only
you.
Only on my own check.
No, they paid you to
they did,
sign autographs yesterday.
Here's the thing.
Somebody comes up here today and asks for your autograph, you'll sign it.
Now
you've lessened the value of your signature, haven't you?
And what do I care?
Because next time you might not get paid to do it.
I won't do it. I mean, here's the thing. It's barely worth it for me. It's barely worth it for me to drive over to Batavia by myself now, stay 2 hours, and come home. I mean, it's barely worth it now. And if it gets any less valuable and I don't want to do it, I just won't do it. And it's to the point now where people send stuff here to the stadium for me to sign. They send stuff to my house for me to sign. And I don't get bothered. Like you can imagine how many things Thurman Thomas, Jim Kelly, guys like the guys I mentioned, Rich Gannon, Kurt Warner, Jim, Bruce, all these guys get stuff sent for people to sign. I do it when I can, when I get around to it. But others, when I get way behind, I just can't keep up with it. It's just not worth it to me to just do it for free. So I won't do it for free all the time. When it's in the right stack of mail that my wife puts in front of me and I've got a chance to do it, I'll do some. But I got a stack at my house that's waiting to be signed that's getting bigger and bigger, and I can't get to it. I got a life, you know?
Okay.
I try to. And when I get really frustrated, when my office is a real mess, I just goes in and I wait for it and I start again. I have to. I can't look at it. But for the most part, I would say I sign a vast majority of everything that's sent to me.
And send it back.
Sooner or later. Some of it goes back the day I get it. Some of it, it's literally months and months and months before I get around to doing it. It's the craziest thing. Because, I just don't let my life get dominated by that. And, come on, it's me. I'm not Muhammad Ali where, I'm not like these guys that are world famous. I do what I can do. And plus, I still get stuff that somebody has somewhere on some website. Somebody thinks that my address is for Andre Reed.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
So I get letters occasionally that's like Andre Reed and my address, and I'm like,
how does that happen?
I don't know. Some website got them transversed or whatever, and I'm sure Andre's getting stuff for me. Maybe. I don't know.
That's
so
crazy.
That stuff like that happens.
Oh, you gotta.
Now, yeah.
And you could have fun with that.
Yeah.
Send back a bag of pork rinds with you.
Let it go, man.
All right, welcome to the show. That's Autograph 101. Steve did his autograph signing at Batavia Downs with a number of other celebrities over the weekend. We talk, like most people, you come into work on Monday. What'd you do over the weekend? I virtually did nothing except sneeze and hack and nap because I felt lousy. I'm feeling better now. I didn't watch much sports on TV. I watched Michigan play Maryland noon on Saturday, and after that, my sports viewing was over. You watched a little bit more sports than I did.
I watched parts of, if not all, of the AAF games that were on. I watched a couple of them in almost fully, and then parts of all four games. That I got to tell you, man, they were good games. And there's some, and I know I'm doing just like a lot of people do. They're kind of thinking, well, what's the difference about this in the NFL? And it's hard to put your finger on what's really different because they are, doing some stuff. And there's not as – I would say the concepts and stuff aren't really as sophisticated because they haven't been together that long, these teams. So it's hard to choreograph that. And it's hard to get the scouting reports on these other teams. You just know history here, right? So there's a little bit of herky-jerkiness, a little bit like preseason games in the NFL. But, man, they're competing, and they're close. A couple of these games were really good. The Orlando and Atlanta game, I think it was Orlando-Atlanta. I'm not sure, I have to double check, but it was a really good game.
Right.
San Antonio was a San Antonio Commanders against the Atlanta Legends, and I can't remember who's playing now. Anyway, because I'm so hard to keep track of, but they were really good games. I mean, it was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was Orlando San Antonio. Orlando with Steve Spurrier calling the plays. They were down 12 in the fourth quarter. Garrett Gilbert brings them back, and they end up winning by like 11 or 12. It was a really good football game, a lot of fun to watch. The thing I noticed about it in the individual basis of these guys, I rarely saw an offensive player that was making guys miss and that was a handful by himself in the open field. The running backs, I saw one guy like roll off spin out of a tackle and get an extra couple yards for a first down. But you really never see a guy come out like Shady McCoy, give a guy a shake, and be gone. you know, or Saquon Barkley. The receivers sometimes battle the ball a little bit when it's in the air. You'll see a good catch once in a while. Mostly I'm watching the quarterbacks, and even at the quarterbacks, the thing that I notice more about any of them is that when they throw the football, it's got a lot of arc on it. It doesn't go on a line. Nope. It takes them a little bit extra effort to get there. The arm isn't strong enough. Yeah. Not all of them. There's a couple of arms that are pretty good, but even the good arms there, you know, they got to loft that ball out there to get it there. Huh. So that's one of the things I noticed. But they were competitive leagues, a lot of fun to watch, some great plays. Defenses are still at this point ahead of the offenses 2 weeks into the season. But I got a lot out of it. I got to tell you, it was fun to watch. I don't know if there's a lot of guys in this league that are going to be like, boom, we need that guy on our team in the NFL. But it's fun to watch. Yeah. It really is.
And it's still in the early stages. We're going to talk about the Alliance of American Football coming up at 2 o'clock today with Cynthia Freeland from NFL Network. She is one of their analytics experts. We've had her on the show before, and she talks about analytics in the NFL. Now she's one of the hosts of the pregame and halftime shows for Alliance Football. And Cynthia Freeland will give us her take on that coming up at 2. And 1 o'clock today, we'll talk about the NFL, in particular NFL free agency. Now, what did I see? 24 days away, I believe, 23 days away. And the NFL draft, which is the end of April. Michael Renner from Pro Football Focus got a mock draft out there, got an interesting trade involving the Bills in the first round he will talk about when he joins us at 1 o'clock. In the meantime, so as I said, I didn't watch much sports. You did or did not get involved in the NBA All-Star game yesterday?
Not a single bit of
me
it.
Me neither.
You know, obviously, if you're watching anything on it, there's going to be highlights and stuff. The LeBron's team won it 178 to 164. The game.
You did not watch Daytona 500, or did you?
No. In fact, I'm embarrassed that I didn't even know it was on until midway through the weekend, and I heard it. And the reason I heard about it was somebody said NASCAR should be bummed because they did this impromptu poll, you know, and who knows who was looking at the poll. It could have been, you know, some people who don't even know what NASCAR is. 2/3 of the people that they polled didn't even know the Daytona 500 was yesterday. And I was one of those. I didn't know it was on until midway through the weekend.
I don't know what does that mean? I mean, what was
nothing,
it 10
really.
Years ago?
Listen, really? NASCAR's I know NASCAR is a really good sport. It's fun to go to, and I know it's got a very passionate following. I think there's you got to start to talk about hockey, basketball, and the football that's still on the air with the AAF. I think there's a real disparage, I think, more about auto racing being kind of off by itself rather than the other sports that are team kind of that are different kind of sports, you know, that are more traditional sports. I don't know
about that.
But NASCAR is big.
It's big, maybe not quite as big as it was 10 years ago, but big. But we kind of get a sense because we're in there talking, hey, what did you see over the weekend? What did you follow? And really, it was all over the place, right? And that's our Twitter poll today. And it's your Twitter poll. So you should introduce this. I'm giving you 100% credit or blame for today's Twitter poll.
Well, I thought it was interesting because there was some pretty big events on. Daytona 500 was on. It's the Super Bowl of NASCAR. You've got the NBA All-Star Weekend, and you've got this second weekend of the AAF, which kind of made a big splash in its week one because it did so better than expected in the television ratings nationally in those outlets that it was on. And we thought, well, wonder how that all stacks up again, particularly since – and it's mid-February here in football, and we wonder if football had some staying power. And right now you can look at it and let's face it, you and I are talking to Buffalo fan base for the most part.
Bills
people, and which kind of crosses over into Sabres people too. And I know the Sabres were on Saturday night – or
Friday night.
Friday night.
And yesterday.
And
night.
Yesterday. Mm-hmm. Lost both games, and it's gloomy for Sabres fans over the weekend. But by the same token, you know, for this Twitter poll, that probably skewed what people were looking for over the weekend. And 36% of you said something other than the NBA All-Star Daytona 500.
What are we asking folks?
It is, which sporting event were you most interested in this past weekend? We gave you three choices. The AAF, American Alliance of Football – Alliance of American Football, the Daytona 500, or the NBA All-Star Weekend, or something else. And, of course, as we predicted, I didn't. I kind of mentioned it. It might be the only Twitter poll we've had on the shows in my tenure here that other may win.
That's leading now.
Yeah. 37% of the people who have responded out of 222 votes say it was something other than one of those three. 28% of you said the American Alliance of American – I got to get that right. Alliance of American Football. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Daytona, and 20% said Daytona 500 and, of course, NBA All-Star Weekend. As you would expect, Buffalo's more of a hockey football kind of crowd. Although basketball, I'm surprised the NBA All-Star Weekend did that poorly.
Yeah. Look, other includes
– the Sabres.
Sabres.
And college football. And college basketball.
College basketball. And there's a lot going on. I mean, as I said, I only watched one sports event this weekend, and that was one college basketball game. At any moment, Saturday and Sunday, there were as many as 10 or 15 college basketball games available on my TV.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's going to, you know, who knows what your favorite team is or what conference you're interested in. You would be part of that other percentage of 37%.
How are we going to handle on our show, One Bills Live,
what?
March Madness?
What do you mean, how are we going to handle
it? Yeah, we got to talk about it, right?
You mean taking off work so we can watch games?
That would be optimal.
Yes.
That would be optimal. I don't think that's going to happen, though.
What do you mean, how are we going to handle it?
We got to talk. Are we going to do a show on it? We're going to do a show like every Monday after the weekend?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember what we've done in the past.
Because I feel guilty, you know, talking about college basketball when we're doing the One Bills Live.
Oh, I wouldn't.
But we're kind of.
You never hesitate to talk Sabres hockey. You never.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
We'll be all right. We'll figure it out.
Which sporting event were you
most? Are we
going to
do brackets?
Yeah, we – no.
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 We're not allowed.
We're not allowed.
Yeah.
Which sporting event were you most interested in this past weekend? Give us a call. We'll discuss 803-0550, toll free 1-888-550-2550. Was it NBA All-Star Weekend? Was it the Daytona 500? Was it the Alliance of American Football or something else? We'd like to hear from you just to see what your – you know, now the NFL is shut down for a while, where your sports interests go this time of year. People would, I think, say, well, it's a dead time of year. It's not really dead. You know, there's a lot going on, including the Daytona 500, which has a loyal and fairly sizable audience, including college sports, including the Sabres, who have a loyal and sizable audience here in Buffalo and Western New York. It's interesting that the Alliance of American Football on our Twitter poll in the early going here gets 29% of the votes. That's almost a third of the votes for a league that's 2 weeks old. That's amazing, right? I mean, the ratings were pretty good last week. I haven't seen any ratings reports yet on this week. But I think you'd have to admit, I'm going to say it, the Alliance has been a surprising success, I believe, through the first couple of weeks, Steve.
And I think the second week was actually a stronger weekend than last weekend. You had the last weekend, week one, you had one blowout of the four games. The others were pretty competitive. These were really competitive. And you started to see some things develop with the analytics of the game, and we're going to have Cynthia Freeland on, who's an analytics expert on the AAF, and she's on the NFL's network's coverage of the league. This two going for two every score, I got to tell you, Murph, it really adds to the interest for these games. I am captivated by that, just by that alone. There's no I hate that, but I haven't missed the kickoffs. I haven't missed them. I hate to say that they would take that out of football completely, but I'm ready for that offense to come back on and let's see what they can do. They've been really competitive games. I thought all four games this last weekend had moments where they were really compelling. They just sucked me in, you know. What can I say? I started watching them. I was like, oh, wow, this is pretty good, you know, and what's going to happen? So that doesn't always happen even with NFL games these days, but those games certainly did it. So the AAF is – continued and had another strong weekend of competitive games. And the fact that, and I've said it time and time again when we talk about it, the fact that there's only four games, it's almost refreshing.
It's easier to keep track.
Oh, my gosh. It's like, yeah. Oh, yeah, it really is. It's so nice. There's just no, you know, there's no angst. Like, what am I missing? You know, there's nothing else to miss. There's nothing to miss.
I got to say, to hear Steve Tasker, one of the all-time special teamers in NFL history, say, I don't miss kickoffs. That's I'm not saying it's alarming to me, but you get my intention when you say that. If anyone's going to miss kickoffs or special teams plays, it would be you.
Yeah.
And yet you don't.
Well, they've become kind of, you know, what can I say? They're a little bit throw-in now. You know, I mean, people are – nothing happens on them. So, you know, what's there to miss? They're kind of soured me – not soured me on them, but my expectations are so low when I see them anyway. Why get excited about them anymore?
So that means we're this close now. If Steve Tasker doesn't watch kickoffs, doesn't care about kickoffs, we're this close to eliminating kickoffs.
I don't think so. I think the league is committed to keeping them in the game. I think they'll continue to tweak it, though. They're going to keep changing, and I hope they do. The only thing that's wrong with them now, there's two things wrong with them. One, you don't get enough returns during the games, and two, there's no way to get an onside kick anymore. So those two things kind of make it like, all right, we got to fix it again. I would think they will. I don't know, though. We'll see.
Hey, we're going to take your phone calls on this topic. Which sporting event were you most interested in this past weekend? And we'll read some from the tweet sheet coming up in the next segment. If you got a thought on this, give us a call, 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. We're just getting rolling today with One Bills Live. We got Michael Renner from Pro Football Focus coming up at 1. Cynthia Freeland from the NFL Network coming up at 2 o'clock. And plenty of time for you to discuss with us. Coming up next week, we got live coverage from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. It starts a week from Wednesday, February 27th. We're there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, February 27th through March 1st at the Scouting Combine in Indy. Make sure you get ready for that. We'll be ready for it as well. The Combine coverage coming up starting next Wednesday. Steve and I coming back with more One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. It's the Monday edition of One Bills Live. Good afternoon, John Murphy. Steve Tasker here until 3 o'clock. The snow is blowing here in Orchard Park.
Wow, look at it.
A couple of inches overnight at our place, Steve. You probably got about the same, two and a half maybe?
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It started late last night, so it lightly snowed throughout the night, I imagine. We didn't get very much, but it was starting last night.
Our Twitter poll today, which sporting event were you most interested in this past weekend? Give us a call to discuss. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. From the tweet sheet, from TManny22, he chooses other, as most of the respondents have. He says, the Alliance of American Football is unwatchable. With the horrible camera angles and sloppy play, I was most interested in Sabres games, what a letdown, and UFC fights. Well, there you go.
I got to say, though, TManny22, you're in the vast minority with the feedback we've gotten so far.
Really?
Everybody
Others
else.
Leading the pack here.
Yeah, I know, but a lot of people are saying the AA. I'm talking about specifically what he said about the AAF. He said it's unwatchable. A lot of people are saying, man, they liked it a lot.
Go on.
What can I say? Games are competitive, and you're right. They're being done by CBS Sports Network. There was a game on TNT, but NFL Network had a couple of games as well. So. You know, you got to kind of look for them to find them, but they're really worth them. I got to tell you, Murph, it's starting to draw me in. I'm starting to be invested in the AAF.
Really?
Yeah.
I
didn't think it was going to get hooked like that. Now I'm looking forward to watching them.
Wandering Jack tweets in, watch both awful Sabres games, but found myself drawn to the Alliance of American Football again both days and got some interesting, fun games to watch. There will be some guys playing who will get NFL contracts this spring, summer, upon the conclusion of the AAF season. Garrett Gilbert has looked great. Garrett is Gail Gilbert's son. You think he was born in Buffalo, or is he too young for that?
Probably was, yeah.
Gail left here, what, 94?
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah, he might be too young.
24 years, 25 years ago?
Yes, he's too young. Probably maybe born when Gail was in San Diego. But he did. Garrett Gilbert looks really good. He looks like a polished product, although it's for what he's supposed to be doing, he looks really good. He looks as good as any quarterback in that league playing for the Orlando
Apollos
and Steve Spurrier. So they are good games. Also, we're getting a ton of stuff in about other stuff people have watched. Eric Morano says the Genesis Open on golf. From Scott, college basketball, that's your thing. Murph, and then also somebody, Matthew Bart, says, hey, what about the Buffalo Bandits? They're first place in the NLL. Let's talk about them for a minute. Just give them a minute once in a while about the Bandits. Are they leading the lacrosse league?
I think so.
You can't watch them on TV, though. You can't watch them. Give me a chance to watch it.
Garrett Gilbert, by the way, was born in Buffalo, Steve.
There you go.
He's 27 years old. July 1st, it says, Buffalo, New York. 27 years old, 1991. Call here from Damon on Grand Island. Hello, Damon. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. How you guys doing?
Great.
I'm actually, yeah, from Grand Island. I'm driving through Canada to go to Michigan for work. Like, at least I can still get a signal for your show.
Good.
I voted other, or I would vote other as well for the Bandits season ticket member. And you can watch them on, if you get Bleacher Report, if you can live stream the Bleacher Report, you can see all the NHL games, the Bandits and everyone else.
Okay.
Watched all of them. Home games I'm going to as a season ticket member, and the away games I watch it streaming on Bleacher Report. And yeah, they're doing great. 8-2, first place in the league.
Excellent.
Awesome. Glad to hear that.
And they're also expanding the league now. They're adding a couple new teams next year. They're up to 11. I think they're trying to get up to 16 teams. So you're going to see more teams, a bigger league, and I guess they're trying to make sure it doesn't interfere with the summer lacrosse leagues and trying to make sure it all works out. But I think it's expanding, and definitely between Canada and the U.S., the box lacrosse is definitely a growing sport.
Damon, let me ask you this, and since you're a season ticket holder, are they? I know they used to really fill that place. At least the lower bowl was almost completely full. I don't know that even back in the day they even sold tickets to the upper bowl, but are they still drawing that many fans? A lot of people are very diehard lacrosse fans. Are they still selling the bottom bowl of that place out in the arena?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, 1 and 200 levels are pretty full. I mean, like any other event, it gives you an attendance. You don't know how accurate it is based on ticket sales versus how many actually showed up. It said there were over 13,000 Saturday night. But, yeah, I know, especially when they get to the playoffs this year, they should. Then you should see up to, between 15 and 18,000 like you usually do when they're getting into that part of the season.
Awesome.
Damon, what do you pay for your ticket? Damon, what's the ticket cost? Season ticket holder.
Season ticket member, we're like for two seats in the 200s with parking, because we park right in the ramp too. It's all included. It's like between $600 and $700 season ticket for 9 home games with parking in the 200 level right in the center.
Per ticket?
Total for two tickets.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that's nice.
Like between $600 to $700 range. So it's not that bad.
They've got all the concessions and all the stuff they have for open for hockey, open for the lacrosse league as well. All the bars, all the kiosks, all the beer vendors, all the food vendors, all that's open.
Yeah, they don't. I know, like in the hockey, they'll come in like to your seat sometimes, I guess, or I don't know if that's more in the suites, but they don't come walk into your seats. But all the vendors are open for beer, alcohol, everything. So you can definitely get what you want there.
What about ice cream? Can Steve get an ice cream?
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You get ice cream.
The creamery's open?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a home run then.
Thanks, Damon.
Thanks, Damon.
You park on that fourth level of that ramp in the parking, you walk right into your
seat,
so you don't even have to go very far outside if you park right in the ramp.
Got it licked. Thanks, Damon. We appreciate it.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
There's a call from Paul in Akron. Go ahead, Paul. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to talk about the kickoffs. I agree they have become boring. I think that people want excitement. So, like, and I get you got to have handoffs, you got to have running plays. Everybody wants a big play. To lighten it up, I would, push the kicker back a little bit, and maybe, if it goes in the end zone, start at the 15-yard line so it gives some team incentive to run it out. Another thing, on the onside kicks, make it 5 yards instead of 10, where the offensive team that's kicking the ball could get that ball. Makes it more exciting for the fans when they think there's a better chance for their team or the other team to lose the ball. That's just my opinion. And yeah. I watched Sabres over the weekend.
Okay, thanks, Paul. Yeah, we got a guy right here who was on the NFL committee on kickoffs last summer.
Well, I was in the room. I was invited, and I probably spoke too much. But, by the way, I agree with you. The issue is, and let's face it, this is how we got to this, it's all player safety. And if you want to make guys standing start and give it a 5-yard run, I don't have a problem with that. Makes sense. You put the ball in play, see if you can get it done, and I make them go line up closer together from a standing start. If you want to get an onside kick, make it only 5 yards. You can do that. That'd be interesting.
The goal was reduce injury. Potential,
that's right. That's why we got to this point. Yeah. So I don't know that Paul, I don't know if your solution would take them back down a road they've tried to leave.
Right.
So that's what we can't tell is the, like we always say, the law of unintended consequences.
Right. Hey, you know what happened over the weekend, Steve, that we have not yet discussed? And it happened about an hour after we went off the air on Friday. I guess you could argue it was part of a Friday news dump. The Bills released tight end Charles Clay going into the final year of his five-year contract with the Bills, 30 years old. Signed with the Bills in 2015. He was given a transition player tag by the Miami Dolphins, and the Bills signed him to an offer sheet, an expensive offer sheet. They will save $4.5 million on their cap by releasing Charles Clay. First two seasons, he was solid. A couple of 50-catch seasons for the Buffalo Bills. Last couple of years, 2017 and 2018, not good. 184 yards receiving this past year. This past season, the first time in his eight-year NFL career that Charles Clay did not catch a touchdown pass. So Charles Clay, who they paid a lot of money, no question about that. We talked about him a lot on this show over his 4 years here, and I said it then, I'll say it now. If you don't pay him that, he's not a Buffalo Bill. He was identified as a weapon they needed in their offense back in 2015, so they overpaid with the offer sheet, got him. He was productive, 50 catches a year and about, I want to say, 8 or 10 touchdown catches every year. And then this past year, the last 2 years, really, his production dropped. He wasn't healthy the last couple of years, that's for sure. You know, and he barely practiced this past year. Maybe one and a half, 2 days per week he would practice because of lingering back issues and knee issues, and he could not be effective. So they move on without Charles Clay. They have a hole now at tight end. They have one tight end on the roster, Jason Kroom, the only tight end on Buffalo's roster for 2019. But Charles Clay, I think, was an interesting signing when it happened, a productive player for a couple of years, and his production dropped off precipitously. And you know, he changed too, Steve. I don't know. He just didn't seem as, I don't want to say he was disengaged, but he just didn't seem as...
He was unable to practice.
Yeah.
And I think that started to ebb away at his ability to contribute and the team's desire to trust him. You can't be ready to play unless you practice and get ready to play. Certainly, he was a very productive player with Miami, and I was really happy. And the first 2 years bore that out, 50-plus catches in the offense. And you can laugh, and people say, well, 50, you got guys catching 85, 90 balls a game. You got tight ends catching 85 catches a year, that kind of thing, pushing 100 catches a year. And listen, he was in Buffalo playing with Tyrod Taylor in an offense that was built to run the football. When they signed him, I was very excited about it, and he bore that out. The guy's got a lot of ability. But over the course of his particularly the last couple of years, he has not been able to practice consistently. And I think with the struggles their offense has had with changing head coaches 2 years ago and putting in a new offense, changing quarterbacks midstream a couple of times. This last season they had four different quarterbacks. You wouldn't think a guy's going to catch 85 balls in the offense the Bills were running this year. But even so, with a young quarterback like Josh Allen, you need your guys to practice all the time. And I think that's the one thing, from the outside looking in, from my perspective, that held Charles Clay off the stat sheet a lot this year, was his inability to, for a quarterback, whoever, which one it was of the week, to get used to throwing to the guy.
Didn't catch as many touchdowns as I thought. Looking up the numbers now, his first year here, 51 catches, 3 touchdowns. His second season here, 57 catches, 4 touchdowns. 2017, 49 catches, 2 touchdowns. And last year, 13 games, 12 starts, 21 catches, 0 touchdowns.
You can say, too, that the thing that you're going to, you know, the defining play of his season this year was the drop pass on the goal line in Miami in week 16, was it? Or 15. But
end of the year.
Yeah, it was at the end of the year when Josh Allen and all he needed to do was complete that pass. If he completes it, they win the game. And it didn't work. So
it was December 9th.
So it was week 15.
December 2nd.
Week 15 of the season, and that play, well, he's kind of the defining play. It's kind of so disappointing because there's one play where Josh Allen used his athleticism to extend the play, ran up towards line of scrimmage, turned his hips, and slung it. And the ball didn't come out of his hands right, and Charles Clay couldn't break on the ball enough to get it. If that pass is completed, the Bills get another win.
Yep,
they win 7 games on the year if everything everything stays the same. So, yeah, that's kind of the play that unfortunately it sticks with you. But there you go.
It will be, I believe, and I've even caught some of it over the weekend, a tendency to say, what a terrible free agent bust, what a terrible overpayment. And I get that, and yet they paid him an awful lot. That was the only way to pry him loose from Miami, was to pay him as much as they paid him. But I wouldn't say he was a free agent bust. 50 catches a year for
he's never going to earn
years.
When he got
productive in terms of making scores the first couple of years. And he fell off badly when his health faltered in the last season, especially.
Yeah, and it's hard to listen. You can't blame him for getting the money. This was all out of his hands. The Dolphins put the offer sheet down and transition tag. So that's what they had to do to get him. That was the going rate. It's not Charles Clay's fault. All the money he was making. Hard to live up to all that money, particularly when you're getting thrown to by quarterbacks that weren't named Roethlisberger, Breeze, and Brady. So you're right. I would never have considered him a bust at all.
People will look and say, well, he didn't perform up to that money. Let me just it's going to sound lecturing, but get ready. You know, the Bills have money to spend in free agency. They're going to overpay some people this year. You could argue, in fact, our 1 o'clock guest makes an argument that we'll discuss with him, Mike Renner, that the Bills vastly overpaid Star Lotulelei this past year. I don't know if I agree with that. But whoever you sign on the free agent market is going to be overpaid. Otherwise, they don't move. They don't go. And you have to do that. You're in competition with others to sign people. And so you got to be careful in the free agent market and be decisive about what you want to do. And careful that you minimize the overpayment that you will have. You will overpay people in free agency. They will do it again in the next in about 3.5 weeks.
Here. Right, they're going
to do it again.
Now, here's the thing, too, though. Sometimes I don't think they've overpaid for Micah Hyde or Jordan Poyer.
Right,
those were the first two guys that the Bills signed when Sean McDermott became head coach as free agents, and certainly those two guys have performed as well as you could expect. Both of them at a Pro Bowl level, both the years they've been here. And have led the defense to a number two ranking in the league and the top five ranking in three or four categories defensively this past year. I think Star Lotulelei gets a little bit of credit for that as well. I mean, this is a team that was number one in yards given up passing this year in the NFL. They were very good against the run. Actually, they were middle of the pack against the run, but yards per play, they were very good. Yards per pass play, they were very good. So, it was a top five defense, and Star Lotulelei, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, those free agents that we spoke about were instrumental in that. So, you know, it's hard for me to look at anybody on the defensive side of the ball and say, wow, you vastly overpaid for it. Certainly Trent Murphy struggled with injuries this year, so you can kind of say, well, he didn't give us what we paid for him, but, you know, by the same token, he couldn't get on the field sometimes.
Right.
So free agency's around the corner, and the Bills are going to have to spend some money to get some guys that are as productive as the guys they've got. I would hope, and I almost really kind of secretly hope, that these are guys they get. Like, I didn't know who Micah Hyde – I heard his name. Jordan Poyer I'd covered. He was with the Browns for a while. I mean, I knew some of these guys' names. I didn't know what the Bills thought of them. But when they signed him, I was like, gosh, I don't know. I don't know these guys, and I kind of hope that's the way it goes this year.
Yeah.
So we can repeat that. I don't need to get Jadeveon Clowney and pay him $22 million a year to come in, and then take it out of gear, like Mario Williams did from the Houston Texans. You know, although Mario had a couple of good, he was an effective player, but that's hard to live up to $100 million contract.
You can't,
right? So I'd much rather have guys kind of middle of the road contracts who are the right kind of guys who are really going to come in and prove that, you know, to earn it. And if you can find guys like that, that's where I think your wheelhouse should be.
If you have thoughts on Charles Clay, if you have thoughts on the weekend in sports, what you paid attention to, give us a call. We got time for a few more phone calls. We're coming up at 1 o'clock. Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus will join us. We'll take a break right here. One Bills Live, presented by Kalina Health. This is John Murphy and Steve Tasker from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker here until 3 o'clock today. Cynthia Freeland from NFL Network is going to join us at 2. We're minutes away from Michael Renner from Pro Football Focus. We're going to talk about free agency, 24 days away. Is that right? It's 3 weeks from Thursday.
This coming Thursday.
Yeah, I believe. Yeah. Anyway, it's March 13th. So, last night's hockey,
we're asking you,
what did you watch over the weekend, and what were you most looking forward to when it comes to your sports viewing over the weekend? We ask this question because there's a lot to choose from. Which sporting event were you most interested in this past weekend? We know there are a lot of Sabres fans out there. Sabres lost miserably last night in New Jersey. And an interesting question, I just can't get it out of my head. So you came up in the post-game locker room down there in Jersey. One of the reporters, I'm not sure who it was, asked Sam Reinhart, is it over? Are you toast? Sam Reinhart's response was excellent. Here it is.
Are you guys, you know, just about toast here? I mean, effort-wise, you say it's there, but I mean, you're 6 points out. You show no signs of putting together a winning streak.
Are we toast?
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at a situation, you lost to the 30th place team. I mean, where does this team stand at this point? The coach just called you soft Friday.
That's one way you guys look at it, but no, we certainly feel right in the mix. You know, we have another opportunity in a couple days. Doesn't make it easier with other teams winning, but no, we don't feel we're toast at all. It doesn't take much to turn around, but you know, at the end of the day, we got to bear down.
We need
to stop.
Let's dump out. That's right, because the most important words there were the first three. Are we toast, Steve? I see T-shirts with that. I think that should be the new slogan. Are we toast?
Are we toast
on this show? What do you think?
I don't think so. I mean, you and I aren't.
A piece of toast, a T-shirt with a piece of toast.
To me, that's a Sabres logo on a butter pat. Sam Reinhart or Jack or somebody should go get T-shirts, pass them around the locker room, say, let's see if we're toast.
Are we toast?
Are we toast?
Love that.
Let's rally around it.
And the way you can see Reinhart when he's asked the question.
He was like, hey, we're toast?
Are we toast?
That's right. I almost want to slap the microphone out of the guy's hand and say, how about this toast? Yeah. What do you mean we? Are we to, you know, it's amazing. And then the guys ask a question, and it's disrespectful. And
no, it isn't.
It is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. You're
asking him, is it over? Are you toast? It's a joke question. No, I disagree.
He's asking him if he's a loaf of bread that's been in a toaster.
No, you're going to take it literally like that? No,
that's
he's
a joke.
Asking him, is your season over?
He didn't ask him if he was season over. He asked him if he was toast.
We can't handle slang. We can't handle figures of speech.
It's unprofessional.
No,
slang
it's not.
Is unprofessional.
Baloney.
It is.
No, wrong.
If Charlie Sixpack comes up to you, if you're Jack Eichel,
do you know what he meant when he said, are you guys toast?
Of course.
Okay, that's all. That's all that matters. You knew what he meant. I didn't even know who asked the question. You knew what he meant?
Yeah, it was a Jersey guy, probably.
I doubt it. I knew what he meant. You knew what he meant. Why is that a bad question?
Because it's disrespectful.
Oh, I disagree.
Yeah.
Got right to the heart of the matter. Are you toast? I just liked his reaction.
You kind of did a double toast. Like, what? I get it.
No, we're a bagel.
I mean, right? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But it is. It's a casual. I say unprofessional. That's a little overstatement.
Yeah.
But wrong. I think it's like you don't care. I mean that it's a disrespectful question.
Disagree.
It's absolutely confrontational.
Disagree.
If that happened in a bar, you punch the guy. Period.
Wrong.
You're like, what are you talking about? You push the guy. Like, how about you? You're toast right now. Let's go. I'm going to butter you up right now. That's what you do. Yeah.
No.
If some stranger comes up to you and says, hey, are you toast now? Your season over? What's that get?
It's colloquial.
You don't do that. Unless that guy knows him personally, unless they have a relationship, that's different. A buddy can come up and say that to you because you have a relationship. Some stranger in a bar or whatever comes up and says, hey, are you toast? You guys toast?
No.
Yeah.
Go ahead and try it. See what
you
happens.
You don't do that.
No.
Let me tell you something. Why don't you try that with Daryl Talley?
He'd be wrong if he hit the reporter.
I'm not talking about a reporter. I'm talking about
a reporter.
Yeah, I am. A guy in a professional setting. You're talking about a guy in a professional setting. I'm just talking about a guy casually walking up. That's a fight.
I don't know.
It's a fight.
I'm talking about the reporter.
I know. That's even more worse because it's a professional setting that you're trying to, like, you're confronting the guy. You're insulting him.
No, you're not.
Your season's over with 20 guys left, games left to play. Why are you even showing up? That's what he's saying. Why do you even show up?
His question is your season over? Are you toast? When somebody is toast, they're done. I'm toast.
It's a disrespectful way to say something that's easier to say just the way you did.
I think it's colloquial.
Colloquial doesn't have to be. It's not disrespectful.
It's the way people talk.
Not in a professional setting.
I disagree.
On the air, you would on the air. I mean, we say stuff like that all the time. We kid around, but we're not talking with the guys sitting here. You got to be respectful of a guy's profession.
What's the difference between saying that and saying, "Hey, is your season over?" No difference.
He called him a name.
Toast.
Yeah.
Not exactly an insult.
What? Whoa, whoa, whoa. You're saying that's not an insult?
No. It's a way of talking. He didn't say you are toast. He said, is your season toast?
It's disrespectful.
Disagree.
Oh, I completely
disagree. You want to keep this going or can we get to a break?
We can get to a break.
We're coming back with more One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. You're toast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.